عليكم ورحمة الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. We were discussing about the aftermath of the preaching of the man who came from the suburbs of the city in support of the messengers of God. He was killed, and then immediately afterwards he was told to enter paradise, Jannah. And we discussed about this Jannah, which it is not of course the Jannah of Akhirah, it is Jannah of Barzakh, which is mentioned here and in other verses of the Quran. And now we come to the rest of the story. After the man was told to enter that Jannah of Barzakh, he has some statements to make and he has some wish. And his wish is this: قِيلَ ادْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. He was told to enter paradise. قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. He said, I wish if my people had known that how my Lord have forgiven me and has made me from the honored ones. Now, we have the same thing, almost the same thing, in another surah, in Surah Nisa or Ali Imran, about the martyrs. When they are martyrs and they are faced with the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they wish that they could tell to the people, to their relatives, to people who are left behind, that what is the situation in the other world. Now, we cannot see people when they go to the other world, when they go to the other side of this existence, this whole living arena. But sometimes we wish to see them and to tell them things. Not often, of course, well, we want to tell them things, but we wish we knew where they are, how they are doing and all these things. The verses here and in Surah Al-Imran tell us that it is the case with them as well. They also want to tell us things, but they can't. Sometimes they come to our dreams and they tell us things. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it's true. But the immediate feeling of the people who see the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the vastness of what goes on in the other side of this world, the immediate reaction is that they just want to give us the information that, well, here is full of things which you don't know about. Of course, when we go to the other side, the life expands very much. Our existence is enhanced in a way that we could not imagine. Now, for example, if we leave behind our children, our loved ones, and of course when we are here, we are ignorant of what goes there, we believe in it. We know that there is something. We are told by the Quran, by the prophets, that there is something going on in the other world. But, well, we haven't felt it, we haven't experienced it. Now, as soon as we go and experience, we would wish that we could tell our loved ones that are left behind that, well, you are just wasting your time. You have to work for this. This is the one, this is the thing that you have really to concentrate on. Probably you remember the last word of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib when he was leaving this world was لِمِثْلِ هَذَا فَلْيَعْمَلِ الْعَامِلُونَ. He saw things. Of course, he knew many things, but going, experiencing, seeing is very different. He said, for something like this people should strive, not for the things that they are striving now in this world. Now, the situation is, of course, his people had rejected him, had killed him, they had committed a great sin. And now that he has gone there, he's forgiven, he has one will, one wish, and that is if his people could know that what is going on in the other side of the curtain, so to speak. So, قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ I hope my people knew, would have known. What happened to him? بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ That's how my Lord has covered me with his forgiveness and has placed me among the honored ones. Now, as we mentioned about this man, he should have been one of the Siddiqun, a great personality, a man of total submission and faith to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not a sinner, of course. Now, why the first thing he says is that, I wish my people knew that how God has forgiven me, has covered me with his maghfirah. The first thing he encountered was not that Jannah or going among the honored ones. The first thing he faced was the maghfirah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He felt it. He felt that maghfirah. Now, was he a sinner? Did he need that maghfirah, really? That forgiveness? We mentioned previously that the first thing that Allah always says prior to making people enter Jannah is that he's going to forgive them. He's going to cover them with his maghfirah and then make them enter paradise. لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ In many, many verses of the Qur'an. For them is forgiveness and then a great reward. There is a dua by Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. When he asks for forgiveness, of course, we have discussed this, that why these saints and great people ask for forgiveness. When he asks for forgiveness, then he says, let me taste this feeling that you have forgiven me. أَذَقْنِي بَرْدَ عَفْوَكَ Let me taste it. You might forgive me, I don't know, I don't want this. I want you to forgive me. And I feel, I taste that you have forgiven me. This is one of the spectacular experiences that a person could have, feeling that Allah has really covered someone with maghfirah. And the first thing that a mu'min, when they leave this world, well, all of you want to go to Jannah, of course, want to be honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but really, if, suppose, with the kind of life we are having, with the kind of actions we are performing, suppose even God places us in Jannah, aren't we really ashamed? Don't we really feel that Allah has done something to us that we do not deserve. We do not deserve. And this feeling, of course, is a very bad feeling. Sometimes you feel that, well, I don't want to go to paradise, really, because I don't deserve it. I don't want that kind of sense of shame, the experience of feeling that I have done so much wrong and Allah has done so much good to me. In Sahifa Sajjadi and in one of the du'as of Imam Zainul Abidin, he says, oh God, if I had the power to endure the fire of hell, I wouldn't have asked you for forgiveness and I would have wanted you to place me in fire of hell because I deserve it. But what should I do? I have no power for that. I cannot endure it. This is the sense when you go closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you really feel you do not deserve, you really feel ashamed. Now, the first thing that a mu'min experiences after leaving this world is that all this is covered for him, and he feels, experiences that sense of forgiveness, maghfirah. And that is more tasteful than whatever is given to them in terms of bounties of Jannah and other things, that sense of that they feel that Allah has forgiven is now ignoring the past. Okay, what have you done already? Don't think about it. It is gone. And now you live with me in peace and live in my vicinity like friends. There's no more past quarrels, no more past arguments. Forget about everything. Now let's become friends. And this is something which is even greater than thinking that we are going to have all those bounties of Jannah. I mean, if you have all those ni'mah of Jannah and you always feel that you don't deserve it, it's not very nice. You always feel that this is given to you, but you did not deserve it. It is something that, of course, you did not work for. But when this maghfira comes and you experience it, you feel it, then everything that you use in Jannah would become tasteful for you, would become pleasant. So the first thing he said, bima ghafara li rabbi. Now, and this means if one of the Siddiqoon immediately after leaving this world have this experience, it means everyone needs this maghfirah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That their shortcomings, their inadvertent actions, the inadvertent outcomes and consequences of their actions are covered for them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I wish my people knew how my Lord has forgiven me. وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ, has placed me among the honored ones. Now, is everyone leaving this world, and if they are mu'min, are they placed among the honored ones? Are they honored? They might get the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They might be forgiven. But are they placed among the honored ones as well? I mean, we could think about it in two ways. One, that everyone forgiven by Allah is honored. Two, no, there are two categories of people. One, those who are nearly forgiven and given the ni'mah of Allah. The other, a higher rank, is those who are not only forgiven, but who are also honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They not only receive the ni'mah, they receive it with honor, with ceremony, some sort of official ceremony which, well, places them among the honored ones. Some people say, some of the exegetes say, وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ means وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الَّذِينَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ. They say, anyone entering Jannah is honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the verse actually means, and has led me to enter paradise. Now, we might say this about the Jannah of Akhirah, that anyone who is let into Jannah of Akhirah is also honored. Don't forget that Jannah of Akhirah is the only place which you could feel the vicinity of Allah, experience it. So if some mystics, some Gnostics say that we don't want Jannah, we only want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's nowhere else that you could experience that vicinity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his manifestations to. It's only in Jannah. So whoever is entered Jannah, he is honored. We have some other verses denoting the same idea. That, for example, وَيُحْشَرُ الْمُتَّقِينَ يَوْمَ يُحْشَرُ الْمُتَّقِينَ إِلَى الرَّحْمَانِ وَفْدًا. The day, the muttaqeen, are gathered towards their Lord as his guests. Well, every guest, of course, is honored by the host. So, if everyone is a guest of Allah, they are all honored. But this is all about the Day of Judgment, when you have passed all those different tests and trials, even if you are a mu'min. You have passed all of them, and then you are gathered to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You go to his party, so to speak, as his guest, and then he makes you enter Jannah. He leads you to Jannah as a host, so you are honored by that. But immediately after the death, This is not conceivable for everyone to be honored immediately by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, there are some verses of the Quran which tells us only a few select creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are honored by Him. And this honor, being honored, of course, has its own consequences. It means that they get knowledge, they get to the private, they are given the private knowledge, which is not given to anyone else. They are given extra powers, so to speak, like Isa alayhi salam. He is from Mukrameen. So you see, even in this world, He makes the dead back to, brings the dead back to life, because he is honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not everyone could do that, of course, unless someone who is honored by Him. Now, there are some verses in the Quran. Of course, Allah says, "Inna akramakum 'indallahi atqakum." The only honor that you could acquire is through taqwa. And the more you have taqwa, the more you are honored. But that high level of taqwa could not reach but by a few select people who are mentioned in the Quran. There are two groups. One, a group of angels, not all angels of course are honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a group of angels which are mentioned in Surah Anbiya, وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا, verses 26 onwards, وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا, they say that Allah has assumed a son for Himself. Well, they meant angels. بَلْ عَبَادٌ مُكْرَمُونَ, no, they are but honored servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are so high that you think they are children of God, or sometimes you think they are God themselves. And this is what the Christians actually thought about Isa alayhi salam, because he was so honored by God, so elevated in this life, and of course in the next, that they thought that he is either the Son of God or the God Himself. But you should know, the verse says, of course this is about the angels, وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا سُبْحَانَهُ بَلْ عِبَادٌ مُكْرَمُونَ, they are but honored servants of Allah. And why they are honored? Because they have no will for themselves. لَا يَسْبِقُونَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ وَهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِ يَعْمَلُونَ, they never proceed God in word, in action, and only do whatever He wishes. This is about, of course, the angels. The other group of people who are honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in paradise, there is a kind of honor which is not given to everyone. Although everyone is honored, but there is a degree of honoring people which is not general for everyone. Now, we have two groups of people in terms of their sincerity, and I'm sure you have heard about this before. We have Mukhlasoon and Mukhlasoon. Well, the difference is in this A and A. Mukhlasoon are those who try to gain complete sincerity in terms of their worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And mukhlasoon are those who have already acquired that sincerity. For example, about Musa alayhi salam, it is said in the Quran, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مُوسَى إِنَّهُ كَانَ مُخْلَصًا, he was someone who had acquired the highest degree of sincerity. وَكَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا, so first he was a mukhlas, and all anbiya are mukhlasoon, of course, they are all at that level of high sincerity. Mukhlasoon are those who try who do their best, who are not diverted, just try all their life to gain that sincerity. And they can't gain the degree that the prophets have unless when they go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they are honored by Him. Now, these two groups as well are mentioned in the Quran to be honored, to be the honored ones. Now, in Surah Ma'arij, Surah number 70, there are a few qualities mentioned for mukhlisun, those who try to seek that final sincerity. Good that the surah itself came. Verses number 19 onwards, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ حَلُوَاهُ. The human species is created greedy and hasty tempered, yes? Ma'arij, Surah number 70. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. Being greatly grieved when evil afflicts him, and niggardly when good befalls him. This is the character of human species, but there are people who have taken themselves out of this. إِلَّا الْمُسَلِّينَ. Except those who pray. Of course, here مُسَلِّينَ means more than prayer, because it talks about the prayer among other characters which should these people have. So here Salat has used in its literal meaning, means those who try to keep their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Salat is connection, and of course it is connection, and the common manifestation of this connection, keeping that connection, is the prayer that we perform. So here it is used in its literal meaning, إِلَّا الْمُسَلِّينَ. Now, who are they? الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. Those who are constant at their prayer, or continuously perform their prayers. وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ. These are all those who try to keep the connection, to become sincere. Okay, and those in whose wealth there is a fixed portion for him who begs and for him who is denied, for the deprived ones. وَالَّذِينَ يُصَدِّقُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And those who accept the truth of the Day of Judgment. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفَقُونَ. And it goes on for a few other verses until it ends. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. And those who keep a guard on their prayer. It means not only they are, at the beginning it says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. They are continuous in their prayer. Here it says, those who have an eye on their prayers, يُحَافِظُونَ. They know how to pray. They just don't pray ignorantly. They have that sense of khashya in their prayers. Okay, so these people, أُولَٰئِكَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ مُكْرَمُونَ. They are honored in the gardens, in some gardens. Of course, فِي جَنَّاتٍ here is nakara. It means some gardens which you don't know about, they are different from other gardens which other people would go in. They are honored in those gardens. أُولَٰئِكَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ مُكْرَمُونَ. This is about مُخْلَصُونَ. And about مخلصون, we have in Surah Saffat, verses number 39 to 43, وَمَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. You are but, about the wrongdoers, you are but being punished for what you did. إِلَّا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Of course, I accept عِبَادَ اللَّهِ الْمُخْلَصِينَ from all these things. They are totally separate, aloof of all these things which are mentioned in that surah in the previous verses. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ رِزْقٌ مَعْلُومٌ. They have quite a specified sustenance and rizq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَوَاكِهُ. Fruits, of course, it could be fruits of their actions which they see in Jannah. وَهُمْ مُكْرَمُونَ. And they are honored. So These two, only Mukhlasun and Mukhlasun, they get honored in Jannah, and immediately after when they leave this world. So if the man who came from the suburbs of the city say, بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ, I wish my people knew how God has forgiven me and has placed me among the honored ones. Probably he expected some sort of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but not to be placed among the honored ones. And this was so great for him. Apart from the forgiveness that he received, and believe me, immediately you leave this world and you face what is on the other side, you would just like to return, just because you haven't left completely your body yet, you're still in the room, you just like to tell to the angels, just let me go and tell my loved ones that what's happening here. But of course, there is a veil there. وَبَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. There is a barrier between the dead and between the living until the day of judgment. So they cannot tell each other things. Well, of course, in exceptional cases, which, in this world is a world of exceptions. And everything has an exception in this world. So, apart from that, it is not possible to bring news from the other world to this world. And you have, sometimes you hear ignorant and lay people saying that, well, you believe in the other world. Who has brought any news from that world for you to believe? Yeah, of course, no one can bring news from the other world to this world, because this is how God has created the world, that no one could come back and tell you what's happening there. And maybe there are lots of souls of our relatives here hanging around trying to come and tell us, look, there are lots of news here this side, so do not occupy yourself with trivial things, with things which distract you from what is kept for you here. But of course they can't tell anything. This is how God has created this world. Now, after this man was killed, a grave punishment, Allah says, came to that people. What happened to those prophets? We don't know. Okay. Maybe those prophets left afterwards. Maybe they were killed. We don't know. The story doesn't tell us anything about them. It only tells the man came to support the prophets and he was killed. Now, whether the prophets were also killed, it is not important in terms of this story, because Allah wants to tell us, if someone of true faith come and tell you something and advise you and you kill them, then a great punishment would befall you. Whether killing prophets also would bring that punishment, well, of course should be, and the punishment should be greater. But now Allah says, Allah is talking about the lower level, that the minimum, even if you kill someone like him, even if a people kill someone like him. وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ مِن بَعْدِهِ مِن جُنْدٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا كُنَّا مُنزَلِينَ. And we did not send down upon his people after him any troops, any hosts from heaven. And we were not doing this. This was not our habit about previous nations as well. We were not sending down troops. Now, there are two opinions about this. This jund, the hosts coming down from jund, are troops and hosts, groups of armed people. Now, the jund coming from the sky, from the heavens to earth, are for two purposes. Either to guide people, so the angels coming down to prophets and giving them revelations and they guide their people. Or the angels coming to do things on this earth, punishing people and things like this. Now, The two opinions are related to these two groups of angels. Now, one group of exegetes say it means that we did not send any more guidance to that people. وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ مِن بَعْدِهِ مِن جُنْدٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. We did not send any troops, well, not troops, any hosts of angels to guide people afterwards to that people. وَمَا كُنَّا مُنزَلِينَ. And of course we were not going to do that because of what they did. The second is, we did not send a host, some troops of angels to punish them. And we were not sending troops of angels to punish people previously. What we did, well, this goes more congruently with the following verse. إِن كَانَتْ إِلَّا سَيْحَةً وَاحَدًا. It was only one single cry. We didn't need to send any troops. It was just one single cry. فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ. And they were silent. They were just still. They couldn't move anymore. It means we perish, we made them perish, we destroyed them. But just with one single cry. We did not send any troops from the heavens and angels to do that. It was just a single cry. So the second meaning goes more smoothly with the following verse, with verse number 29. إن كانت إلا صيحة واحدة فإذا هم خامدون. It was but a single cry and they were silent. Now, one thing I want to mention here, and you see that some people kill prophets. Here Allah says they killed this man and it was at the end of them. They actually brought that end to themselves by killing that man. Sometimes Allah says we sent some signs, like that she-camel to Thamud. And after they killed her, that she-camel, that was the end of them. After they killed her, we punished them, we sent down the punishment to them, a sayha again, a cry, and they were killed. But sometimes people kill prophets, like Banu Israel, and they were not punished like this. And they were again given strength, given time to live in comfort, even after they killed the prophets. Now, this is the minimum punishment to extinguish a people. There is a greater punishment, which of course comes with you if a people kill greater people, people of more people of higher calibers, like Banu Israel who killed the prophets. It was not Sayha coming down, no troops coming down. It was just to dry their hearts, so that not only them, but the whole race was punished, of course, those who continued the path of their fathers and conceded and agreed with that path. The whole people of Banu Israel, they were punished, and Allah says, because they killed the prophets, we cursed them. We did not punish them in this manner, by just extinguishing the race. We punished them in the way that we cursed them. فَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. They cannot believe. They perform lots of meticulous types of rituals, but there is no sense of faith in the heart. There is no sense of spirituality in the heart anymore. It's completely dry and have taken out of the taste of prayer and worship. Now, tell me, well, we know that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, for example, was greater than this man. Of course, he was the grandson of the Prophet. And Muslims killed him. Now, what did befall them? I mean, that was a great man. He went to people, he preached. He said that you should not follow Yazid, for example. And he tried to bring them back to the path of the Prophet, and they killed him. What happened to Muslims? Who knows? Yeah?
They are lost today, even today, without any leadership.
Even today, but what about that time?
Since then,
yeah. Probably, they, great calamities came. Although they expanded, and in terms of territory, in terms of many other things. But at some interval, now today you would see that what is the situation. And this is what exactly Imam Hussein told to the people who killed him, that you killed me, but you should know that misery and dhillah, disgrace, would befall you later on, afterwards. And of course, this is a different kind of punishment coming down. I mean, it doesn't go unnoticed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never he ignores his friends, awliya Allah. Even we are told in lots of ahadith that try not to despise anyone, because that's anyone who is no one in your eyes might be one of the awliya Allah. And if you despise them, then Allah gets angry with you, because he cares a lot about his awliya, his friends. Because they are his friends, they have kept the bond with him, and he keeps the bond with them, of course. And if you try to somehow wrong them, then of course Allah gets very upset. If one of those awliya Allah is wronged in this world, he gets very upset. So you be careful about people whom you don't yet. Yes. Well, a kafir couldn't be one of awliya Allah, of course. I mean, and not all Muslims are awliya Allah, but a select few of them are awliya Allah, are those who keep bounds with him, who every night when people are asleep, they are crying to their Lord, seeking maghfirah and forgiveness. These are awliya Allah, and Allah is very, very cautious about them. I mean, he cares about them very much. And well, if some people kill them, wrong them, oppress them, or despise them, then they would meet the consequences, certainly, because Allah cares for those people very much. So, وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ مِن بَعْدِهِ مِن جُنْدٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا كُنَّا مُنزِلِينَ إِن كَانَتْ إِلَّا سَيْحَةً وَاخِدَةً. It was just a single cry. فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ. And then there is a statement, which of course the exegetes say, it might be a statement by still that man who was killed, or a statement by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informing us, which the second opinion is more, of course, acceptable. That, well, you might imagine that the man, after seeing that forgiveness and entering the Jannah of Barzakh, saying, Ya hasratan ala al-ibad. How sorrowful is the situation of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might imagine this, but it is very general. So it more fits if we think that this is a statement made by Allah. That's, woe to my servants, to the servants. Or how sorrowful is the situation of the servants. مَا يَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ رَسُولٍ. No messages come to them, illa kanu bihi yastahzi'un, unless they mock at them or they try to deride them. And this has been the situation all through the history of mankind, and this is really sorrowful for the people who unknowingly are meeting these harsh and severe consequences of mocking at the prophets and taking their words and their message not very seriously. So ya hasratan means, oh woe, how sorrowful is the situation of the servants, ala al-ibad, ma yatihim min rasulin illa kanu bihi yastahzi'un. Okay. Now, the story shifts to, well, the story ends, and the verses shift to something else which is not unrelated to the story. which we talk about inshallah next week and the other week, and then we give we will have a summer break inshallah. But one thing I mentioned here about the style of telling this story, which is very common, pervasive throughout the Quran, and that is omitting the unnecessary points of the story, telling just the remarkable points which are important for the purpose of bringing the story. You see, this man said, "Inni amantu bi rabbikum fasma'un." I believe in your Lord, so listen to me. And well, they did not listen. They probably got him, imprisoned him. Then he was taken to the king, and a verdict was passed against him. He was killed. Well, these are not very important things. It is all put aside. And after death, what happened to him? How did he meet his death? How did they kill him? Not important. The only important thing is that immediately after he died, قِيلَ دْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ. You see how the story jumps. And this is the very common style of the Quran. You have to be aware of this. إِنِّي آمَنْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ فَاسْمَعُونَ قِيلَ دْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ. He was told, enter the paradise. Otherwise, the stories could not be told in the Quran. I mean, you have the whole story of Yusuf, right from his childhood to the end of him being in the palace of the Malik of Misr, and of course not Pharaoh, because Pharaoh was a later term after Yusuf devised at the time of Ramses II, at the time of Musa. So at the time of Yusuf, you see in Surah Yusuf, there's no mention of Pharaoh, it's mention of Malik. وقال الملك اقتوني. So he went to that palace and he became one of the great ministers of that palace. All these stories told so concisely, only in 2 pages, and of course 2 pages of these big fonts of the Quran, and if you put it in short, in smaller fonts, it's either half a page or 1 page, and you haven't missed anything of the story. This is amazing. Someone said, could this story be more summarized and be told in a more abridged way? And he was told, yes, it could be. He said, how could you tell? How could you summarize it more? He said, okay, a boy was lost and then he was found. This is the more summarized version of it, of course. But you see, nothing in this story is missed. Those important points which Allah wants to mention. And still, it moves on from unimportant points to important points. It leaves it out. And here you have in the story as well the same thing. The exemplar of this is Surah Qamar, with its, well, fabulous style and rhythm. Surah Qamar, the rhythm of Surah Qamar is really fabulous, and the way the stories are told. Now, and the metaphors used in that surah are really, really the metaphors which penetrate the heart in Surah Qamar. Take, for example, the story of Thamud, which is, of course, a long story because Saleh was a very respected person among the people of Thamud. They all thought that Saleh is going to lead them because he had great intelligence. And we know of this from Surah Hud. قَالُوا يَا صَالِحُ قَدْ كُنَّا مَرْجُوًا قَدْ كُنَّا فِينَا مَرْجُوًا قَبْلَ هَذَا. Before you bring this message, we had great hopes in you that sometime we put the leadership of our people in your hand and you would lead us and we would conquer everywhere, everything with your help. Now you are telling things that is more like talks of a mad person. Now, look how the story is told in Surah Qamar. كذبت ثمود بالنذر. ثمود denied the warners, those who brought warning for them. فقالوا, what they said, أبشرا منا واحدا نتبعه. Should we follow one person, single person from among us? Well, of course, that single person was very prominent, Saleh. But they said, should we follow one single person from among ourselves? Inna idhan lafi zalalin wasur. Then we are mad in madness, and we are astray from the reasonable life. أُنزِلَ الذِّكْرُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ بَيْنِنَا. Is, he claimed, of course he received revelation, is the revelation comes only to him as against all of us? أُنزِلَ الذِّكْرُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ بَيْنِنَا. أُلْقِيَ الذِّكْرُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ بَيْنِنَا. What is it? أُلْقِيَ الذِّكْرُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ بَيْنِنَا. بَلْ هُوَ كَذَّابٌ أَشِرٌ. He is just an impudent liar. And okay, this is the whole story is told here, that they didn't want to follow one single man from among them, and they of course slandered him that he is an impudent liar. سَيَعْلَمُونَ غَدًا. Tomorrow they are going to know. مَنْ الْكَذَّابُ الْأَشِرُ. Who is the impudent liar? Oh, very strong. Tomorrow they are going to know who is the impudent liar. Inna mursilu an-naqata fitnatan lahum. We are going to send the she camel as a trial and test for them, because they asked, if you are a messenger, then bring us a sign. We are sending them the sign. Inna mursilu an-naqata fitnatan lahum fartaqibhum. Wait. Wastabir, and have patience. Endure. Of course, they are going to tell you strong things, offending things. You endure, wait. وَنَبِّئْهُمْ. Very, very, lots of information are actually put in this very short story. وَنَبِّئْهُمْ أَنَّ الْمَاءَ قِسْمَةٌ بَيْنَهُمْ. Tell them that the water of the city from the, because there was a source of water for that city, and they were told, okay, this is the sign for you. It was actually carved out of the mountains, the camel, and was brought forward to them, and they all said, okay, this is something which endorses your prophethood. And he said, okay, this camel should drink the water one day, and no one on that day should go to the source of the water, and the other day you would go to the source. وَنَبِّئْهُمْ أَنَّ الْمَاءَ قِسْمَةٌ بَيْنَهُمْ كُلُّ شِرْبٍ مُحْتَذَرٌ. And each portion should be kept, should be preserved. وَنَادَوْ فَنَادَوْ صَاحِبَهُمْ. They called their companion. فَتَعَاطَى. He accepted. He obeyed. فَعَقَرْ. And hamstrung, killed the camel. Okay? This, just three or four sentences, was the whole story. فتعاطى فعقر. And what's the next verse? فكيف كان عذابي ونظر. How was my punishment? And how was the aftermath of warnings? إنا أرسلنا عليهم. So this is وما كنا منزلين. From about the previous people, even we didn't send troops from the sky. إنا أرسلنا عليهم صيحة واحدة. I sent to them only one single cry. فَكَانُوا كَهَشِيمِ الْمُحْتَذَرِ. This is a very great metaphor. Very great metaphor. Muhtadhar is someone, well, either someone who builds pen for enclosure for sheep and camels and other things, or someone who gathers weeds and dry weeds and thorns and take it to city and sells it. So when that someone gathers weeds and thorns and take it, there are some small fragments on the ground. Or when the pen builder builds the pen, there are some small fragments, and those are called hashim, small fragments of wood and thorn and other things. إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً فَكَانُوا كَحَجِيمِ الْمُحْتَذِرِ. They were just like those small fragments falling on the ground. And this was the whole story. There's nothing more to this story, told in few sentences. So this style of the Quran, you have to take in mind, it's a very strong style, very beautiful style that Quran, of course, assumes in telling the stories about the past. And this is what really people thought. This is magic. It could not be possible for a human being to bring these stories in these short and compressed versions so beautifully and so penetrating the heart. Whatever story you read in the Quran, you think about it in this way and you will find it the same. It is concise, to the point, without any additional unnecessary remarks, and putting the whole picture to you. Inshallah, we'll continue with the following verses next week.
Okay, I'll start with the question and answer. Shall we start with the sisters?
Assalamu
alaikum.
It's just regarding the communications between the dead people and their relatives, you know, in this world. Really, so the person who dies will have no information, no update, for instance, on his loved ones. Also, what's happening in this world, for instance, or would they get updates from those who dies later?
Well, there are different types of people with different types of information in the other world, of course. But you have to know, immediately when we leave this world, the type of, the very kind of the knowledge that we would have is quite different from the knowledge that we have in this world. I mean, the dead people might know what's going to happen in 100 years' time. Okay, not because they are given ilmul ghayb, but because that is the kind of knowledge when people leave this world would have. And most of the dead would have information about their relatives, would know what's going on, but of course there's no communication. Communication in the sense that they could not communicate with each other. There is information, of course, not from that world to this world, but from this world to that world. From that world, the information comes sometimes through the dreams. And because in the dream, sometimes our soul gets unified with the world of Barzakh and with the world of the dead. And of course, not always they have the permission to come on the frequency in which we are, okay, in which our souls would go. But sometimes they get permission. It's not possible to come to this world, but it is possible to go to those frequencies in which we go when we are asleep, and then they communicate with each other. Well, this happens very frequently for many people. So this is possible, but telling things while we are awake in this world, it is impossible, as I said, except for some very, very exceptional cases.
Yeah, yeah, sister? I think there's a sister here. No, okay, brothers?
She wanted to continue something.
Yeah, okay, if you want to continue.
Regarding the updates, won't they receive updates from those who die later to tell them what happened later?
You mean to ask them what happened later,
yeah,
after they have passed away?
Yeah.
We have some hadith that since the souls of good people go to one place and the souls of bad people go to one place, because as I said last week, good and bad is separated in the other world. They could not be together. In this world, they are mixed, but in the other world, they couldn't be with each other, so they go to one place. We have a hadith that sometimes when someone goes to the other world, and this is when their information about this world is cut. And I don't know how that happens and in what circumstances it would happen, but the hadith says that a person goes and they ask him about some of the relatives, and he would inform them, or she would inform them, that they have passed away, and they know that they haven't gone to their place, which is a good place, then they know that they are on the other side of, on the side of the bad people. So it means sometimes information about some people, four people of the other world, is completely cut. They couldn't get anything from them. But they might get information about, for example, if there is a family, they might get information about three members of their family, but not about two of them. Why, we don't know. They are completely cut off from them. And these probably is due to many, many factors which are unknown to us. Yeah.
Surprise.
In Surah Qamar, you were just mentioning, فَنَادَ سَاحِبَهُمْ فَتَعْتَ فَكَ What is the significance of the Sahib? Why is he specified? Why not they, Jay killed him? And why they have to call somebody to kill him?
Because no one was prepared to do that. No one was so vicious, actually, to embark on killing that sign of Allah, which everyone knew that it was a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you see, after the sign gets a bit familiar, you see, they didn't kill the camel immediately. I mean, the camel was there probably for a few months, drinking from the well, and on that day, of course, it was very difficult that they had one day off the well. They couldn't go and bring water from the well, and or from the spring or whatsoever. And gradually the talks came, well, what is this sign of Allah? We can't go into the well, we can't bring water. Why Allah sent such a thing? And all these things. But, of course, no one dares to do anything to that camel. Except that man. I mean, probably they were looking for a volunteer to do this. And that volunteer was the most vicious person, which we have in hadith, that was the most vicious person of the past. And Ibn Muljam, who killed Ali ibn Abi Talib, was the most vicious person at that time, who volunteered to kill him. And there are many, many ahadith, both from Shi'i and Sunni sources, that Prophet informed Ali ibn Abi Talib that he were going to be killed by Ashqal Akharin, the most vicious human being of Akharin, which of course compared to that pastime, which follows Ashqal Awwaleen, which was the killer of that Naga or Shikam.
So is there a message there for us that maybe every society has vicious people and we should be looking out for them, or is it just simply this guy?
Well, everything has a message for us if we think carefully about it. And there are always vicious people which we shouldn't put them at the helm of the society. I mean, look, for example, about this culture of nudity and spreading obscene pictures and other things in this society. Certainly not everyone would agree from this society even with that. There are always some very vicious people which are unfortunately now at the helm, and they are spreading all these things. And of course they have gained this authority from the people who are living in this society. There is always like this. I mean, this is the paradox of democracy, that there might be, I mean, democracy is always like this, that you might give the helm, the steering wheels, so to speak, of society to some people who are really vicious. And certainly we don't want to do this. And we have to look out for it, yes. Yes.
Sisters? No. Okay, Nizam?
Coming back to the dreams, do you think you could share some anecdotal evidence that you might personally have had of people who have had dreams with those and relating to those who have passed away? And my related question to that is that, is this something that is gifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to certain people, or can anyone develop their ability through dreams communicate? And another related question is that, do you know of individuals who actually can do have the skills to help people communicate through dreams?
Usually this is a kind of gift rather than something that could be developed. I mean, there are some people, well, regardless whether they are good or bad, they have this gift. I mean, the gifts are given to us before we start performing actions which are regarded good or bad. I mean, since we are children, these gifts are given to us. So you might see someone who is totally a bad person but has some gifts, like, for example, high IQ. Okay, this is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's given to people regardless of their faith, regardless of their religion and all these things. Usually these the ability or the kind of inadvertent capacity to communicate with the dead in the dreams is a gift to some people. So you find some people who are who very frequently see the dead people, get messages from them and all these things. I don't think it could be developed or it could be nurtured, so to speak. It only comes inadvertently. We are not in control of our dreams, so to speak. We cannot decide what we want. For example, of course, there are some riwayat that tells if you recite such a verse or if you do such a supplication for a few nights, then you would see a dead person whom you want. Either the Prophet, for example, peace be upon him. But people have tried these things and they haven't worked for some people. For some people it has worked. And probably the reason is that it only works for those people who have the minimum gift. Some people don't have that gift at all. So whatever they try, they wouldn't get anywhere. But for those people who have the gift, the source, but they need some sort of a thing to precipitate the whole communication with the dead in dreams, then it would work for them. And in terms of anecdotes, I don't know which one to mention. There are many, many dreams which are communications with the dead, bringing information from one very particular example, which is very, very interesting, is about the family of Martin Mutahhari. And you know, Mutahhari had some dreams before he died. And one of the dreams which his wife has mentioned in many places is that the night before he was killed, he was shot. He woke up at the middle of the night, and he was very excited, walking in the room, and she asked him what had happened. He said, "I just saw in my dream that I was in Mecca with Imam Khomeini, of course, and we were walking together towards Kaaba. And then the Prophet was standing beside the Kaaba. And he signed to me and summoned me with his finger. And I thought that, I should not be the person to be summoned. It's Imam Khomeini that is someone. So I just stood back. But I saw that, yes, I was pointed at. I went to the Prophet, and he, without telling me anything, he kissed my lips, and probably putting a seal on it, okay, as so to speak. And he said, I'm still feeling the warmth of that kiss of the Prophet on my lips. And the next day, of course, he was shot dead, so he couldn't speak anymore. But after his death, there was something, I don't remember what was that, something very precious to the family, which was misplaced. And they had looked for it very much. And her wife saw him in dream, and he told them that where that thing is, and they went and found it. So this is an anecdote. And there are, of course, this is just one example. There are myriads of examples of such communication. Even information comes from the other world, for example, about a misplaced thing. It is, in fact, an information coming from the other world. Yeah.
Sisters? Yeah, just a minute. Okay. There's a question here at the back. Just a minute, I'll mark. Can you pass the mic there? Please, yeah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam.
On the TV at the moment, there is a lot of these media programs where they are talking to the dead and getting messages. Is this a skill or are they genuine?
I don't know about these. If you explain a bit more about them.
I mean, they come to the shows and they are talking, they get messages from the guy who is talking from the dead and giving them information.
That's probably summoning souls of dead people. That's totally different from seeing them in dreams. I mean, seeing them in dreams is something which is a human capability. It's very general. Many people have this gift. But summoning jinns or human souls is totally a different thing. And there are lots of discussions about whether they are allowed or they are not allowed and all these things. And, there are many, many people who just feign, just pretend that they have this capacity. So we have to be very careful about it. And of course, as I said, there are reservations in Sharia about whether it's correct to do that or not. Yeah.
Sheikh, you mentioned in your talk that Allah sends wrath to the community when the community has, or the person from the community has killed a good person. Now, mentioning about Imam Hussein, where you mentioned, I've heard that there is a hadith in Nahjul Balagha which refers to some kind of adab coming in Iraq or related to that, because you did touch about, but did not expand on it.
Yeah, there are lots of these predictions in Nahjul Balagha about Basra, about Kufa, about the Muslim nation as a whole. And I think if you want to somehow to gather them together, it could be a really remarkable kind of sets of information. But Amirul Mu'minin does not specify for what reason these azab are coming down, or these punishments or wrath of Allah is coming down. It is due to many factors, of course. But the point is that we know that many of these things have happened in the past, and some of them may have been in store yet to come. We cannot specify that when there is a prediction, it refers to what time, to what sort of circumstances. But certainly there has been many instances of this. About Banu Israel also, we have in the Quran that لَتُفْسَدُنَّ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرَّتَيْنِ, you will make mischief. We have written in the book that you will make mischief on the earth twice, and you will be punished twice. And there has been lots of efforts to specify these two times. When did it happen? For example, at the time of Romans, when they invaded the land of Judas, or later on, or it refers to a time still to come. It is very difficult to specify. So we better not try to put efforts on it, just to accept that, yes, things are going to happen due to some misbehavior.
Before we come to gents, any sisters? Yeah, but Ahmad, then.
How can people be punished for the misdeeds of a few? Just to carry on with what you are saying, and also to be punished in future generations, like a country or a society or a people?
Well, this is a very good question. In fact, Allah doesn't see us as individuals. We are living in an individualistic kind of conception of the world. Allah doesn't look at us like this. We are all related to each other. Our children are parts of us. And we are, of course, parts of our children. So, if, of course, individuals are judged differently than nations. For the nation, Allah tells us in the Quran, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا يُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاسًا. Beware of a punishment which is not going to inflict only those of you who are oppressors. When it comes generally to a nation. So the point is that we have some power in a nation to stop our nation to go astray. We have to strive for it. But if the fitna comes, it might inflict us as well. We will be rewarded for it on the Day of Judgment. But the nations are judged differently than individuals. And we have to take out this kind of individualistic sense from our minds that, well, every individual should be judged individually by Allah, even when they are judged from among a nation. It's not possible. About Banu Israel, which, of course, many verses are specifically addressed to Banu Israel of the time of the Prophet. While, for example, it says, you did this, you did that, you worshipped the cow, you did all these wrongdoings while their fathers had done. It is because they were boasting for those things, and they were actually confirming what their fathers had done. So it was of course, proper to address them for the wrongdoings of their fathers. Yeah.
Sisters, any? No, okay, Gulamba.
Well, Ibn Sirin was, of course, a great scholar and someone who was given this gift of interpretation. But the point is, interpretation of every dream depends really on the person who has had that dream, and on the occasion, the time, and many, many other factors. So it is very difficult for someone to refer to a book and find out about the interpretation of their dreams. And of course, that book is reported through several medias, and those media might have been might have trampled with the book and all these things. So it decreases, diminishes the type of reliance that we could have on that book. And as I said, there should be an interpreter to look into your face, ask about the occasion that you saw the dream, and then tells you the interpretation. But there are general signs in dreams. For example, they say, if you see in your dream a snake, that you are taking a snake or something, that is the wealth of this world, or that you are going to be given something in this world, because this world is very dangerous. It's like a snake, it's beautiful, it's soft, but it might inflict a lethal kind of blow to you. So they usually say this is a sign. Or they say if you see that you are given a child, it means that you are given the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These sorts of general signs usually work, but not always. And these are the types of the things that Ibn Sirin has put in his book. But as I said, it is not 100% sure that they are interpretation of every dream that people see. Yeah.
I think you have to understand that if you dream, when you sleep after Zohar Namaz, it definitely comes true. What's your view about that?
Nothing is definite in this world. Take this from me. Nothing is definite in this world. Because everything goes to a very, very complicated system of bada and all these things. The only definite thing is that Allah is controlling everything. And that's all. The other things are really not definite. No.
We have a last question from Muslim.
In Yazid's Darbar, there are some blind people. There is some stories about that. Is that true?
In
Yazid's Darbar in Damascus Sham, there are some blind people sitting in the middle. They are saying that this is one of the azabs they've got because of that.
You mean at that time?
Yeah. No, even now when you go, there are people, blind people sitting in the middle.
Oh, I see. No, I haven't heard about this. And there might be beggars or something? Yes, are they beggars?
No, they are very old people and they are completely blind. There's about 10 of them, 8 of them, all the time sitting in the middle. And there are some stories that I think they did offend one of our prophets, and because of that.
Well, it is very improbable because these are the people living now at this time. And
so, well, this is since the generation has been following.
Oh, I see. You mean they are born blind and
right,
generation
yeah.
after generation. I don't know. I haven't heard about
since
it.
This is since Yazid, after Yazid's time.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about it. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed.